Thank the Lord for the beautiful sunshine out here this morning, and it's good to see all of you here. We enjoy coming to church and seeing all of our friends and everything and having a few minutes to fellowship and to find out a few things that's going on. So this morning, we're going to go ahead and talk about the prayer list. We do have Bob Bishop back. He's got through his surgery, and he's here today, so we're thankful for that. And it's good to see all the rest of you. And just want to go ahead and say this one thing before we get started on the prayer list. Remember August 18th, our 245th anniversary. That's coming up more quickly than you know. And so please try to remember to invite someone to come with you, and we'll be looking forward to hearing Scott Pauley that day. So that's on August the 18th at just a couple, three Sundays away. In Psalms 65:2, we read, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. And you know, we come to our prayer time this morning to start the class, and we talk about those that are having issues, those who are not able to be here, and we're so thankful for the ones that are able to come. And the Gideon class is a wonderful class. It's a time when, you know, the people can get together and remember and talk about the older times and things like that. We have still got the memories of that, so I enjoy the Gideon class and thank God for the privilege to be here. This morning, as we look at this prayer list, it's quite extensive. It's pretty well a whole full sheet, so the little green leaflet that I gave you out, please go over that and read it and remember these people that are, they are having issues, they're in a valley, so to speak, at this time, but God's faithful, God's good, and His mercy is new every morning, and we thank Him so much for answered prayer. We're still remembering Pat Shaw. She's one that's been on our list for a long time, and you know, Christine Searcy, who's not able to be here right now. Yeah, sometimes she can come, sometimes she can't. And then we have others on here that we're having our teacher have to have some surgery here on August the 7th. So I know he's excited about that, right? So anyway, let's pray for him. And then we have a lot of others that are listed on here, Randy and Pat Scalf, and we think about Ron and Wanda Huskins and others that we are used to seeing in church, but they are not able to come now. So let's remember them in prayer. And I wonder this morning if there's anyone that has someone new that they would like to put on the list. We have the clipboard up here, and so I can start it around and let you write their name on it. Or you can see after the class breaks, you can come back there and sign up then. Which, does anyone have anybody that they want to add on the list this morning? Okay. Let me walk back here and talk as I go. I can't hardly do two things at once, walk and talk, you know. Chew gum, yeah, that's right. But anyway, keep talking. My wife says keep talking. Okay. Anyway, we are thankful for the time this morning that the Lord has given us to be together. We're glad to see Harry here and Brenda. They missed a couple of Sundays. And Larry, you're doing a little better. And I guess Leslie got her scan at first of the week. Okay, let's keep Leslie in our prayers. All of our folks that are dealing with cancer, I noticed Mr. Harrison's not here this morning. And so let's keep them in our prayers and be sure to lift them up to the Lord. Okay, does anyone else have anybody, maybe unspoken? Okay. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll let Brother Philip teach. Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you, dear God, for answered prayer. It's good to see Bob Bishop back this morning. And Lord, thank you for working in his life. And Lord, we do pray for Leslie Farmer. And God, pray that you'll touch her and help her during this time. And Lord, we know that Sharon Harmon is going through some rough waters right now, so we pray for her. And God, many others, I saw Lynn Anderson here, Lord, this morning, and we just thank you that he's able to come, and thank you for that prayer. We think about Barney this morning, Lord. He's Barney Bear. He's dealing with this cancer also. So Debbie Deacons, we're praying for her. And then, Lord, just all of these on our sick list here for these unspokens that hands were lifted for, God, we want you to remember them and to work in their hearts and their lives according to your will. And God bless Brother Philip today as he comes and delivers to us what you've given to him. And Lord, we just praise your name and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can be turning to Psalm chapter 40 and verse 6. I'm going to hold up my iPad because I don't carry a Bible anymore. This book, and I have my Bible in my iPad and commentaries and all sorts of things, and I love it. But this book disciplines my mind and my soul. This sheet disciplines my heart. This keeps me connected to God day by day, amen? And this keeps me connected to you. This is very important in my life. And by the way, you might not be on here, but I pray for you because you that have introduced yourself to me since I've been in here have now become part of my prayer life, amen? Because I know you now, amen? You've introduced yourself to me. And now I know better how to pray for you. Now, some I don't know at all. You've just said, hello, I'm Carol. By the way, my wife nudged me last week. She said, that's Carol playing over there. And I can hardly see the piano over there, so I never know who's playing. But it was like, oh, that's very beautiful. And thank you so much. And we pray for her and others of you as well. The more I know about you, the better I can pray. And so God bless you. Let's get to know one another. If you haven't introduced yourself to me yet, just say, hey, I'm so-and-so. And if we can talk for a little bit, then I know you then. See, right now, some of this is just names. Right? Just names on a page. And I really, it's hard to enter in. I do like Paul, and it's a very legitimate type of prayer. He said, making mention of you in my prayers. Sometimes that's all we do. We have a lot of prayer, people to pray for, and we just mention them in our prayers. Lord, bless Teresa. Lord, bless Leroy. And but we don't know much more about it than that until that person tells us a little bit about their life. I'm so glad I met Bob. He introduced himself to me and shared a little bit of his life, what was coming up. And I've been able to pray for him much more fully because of that and enter into all that was about to happen with his heart. And he was sharing this morning again, and I'm rejoicing because they were making decisions about him from the general on down to his surgeon about what to do. And all of those ended up being exactly the right thing that he needed done in his heart surgery. If they had done the other side, it wouldn't have. He would have had to go right back. This is answers to prayer. Amen. And so we rejoice in that. And so the more we know about each other, of course, you guys probably all know each other, amen, and are familiar with each other. You've been here forever. We're the newbies. And so we're just trying to get to know better so that we can pray better. And but some of these I'd like a little clarification on, if I could. On these cancer, I pray for all these cancer. We know something about cancer. And by the way, when I pray for people with cancer, I pray for their family. Have you ever heard the adage, when somebody gets cancer, everybody in the family gets cancer? It's that kind of problem. I mean, everybody is burdened about this. It affects everything. It's very distressing. And so it's important that we pray for Leslie Farmer's husband and children, because this is so serious and so devastating and so possibly life-ending, but it is certainly life-altering. It affects everything. So is everybody on this cancer prayer list saved? I don't know everybody. Is Shirley here? Shirley, or did they have to go? Miss Jenkins. Her sister-in-law, Faye Fillers, is she saved? So you pray differently if you don't know if they're saved or not, because in it you want the Lord to work in their heart. So, okay, if you don't know, I'll try and find out some other way. And let's see. Oh, I wanted to say one other thing. Please put things on that prayer list, because how else will we know? But also, please take things off that prayer list if they're answered. You're wasting my time, right? I'm getting burdened about something that's already a blessing, you know? And if you get an answer, share it with us. We want to rejoice too, because I assure you, when I say this disciplines my heart, what I mean by that is I try to enter into whatever your burden is. Isn't that what God tells us to do? Bear you one another's burdens. And so it's not just, okay, we're saying all these names. No, what we're wanting to do is to bear their burden. But if that burden's already done, take it off. Go back there and tell the secretaries to take it off, please. All right. By the way, wasn't this good? I've been saved for near 50 years now, and I have never put those two passages together. Psalm with Romans, what was it, 8:5? That was so wonderful, and I am going to have to go home and do some further meditation on that, because that word is very broad. There's so much in it. That was just wonderful, and I told Johnny, I said, if that's the kind of food you get in your Sunday school every morning, every Sunday morning, you are well fed. Amen. You love good ministers, and that was wonderful. Now, are you in Psalm chapter 40? And I'm going to do the best I can with this because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we read this passage, I would like to quote a passage that all of us know very well. And that is John chapter 3 and verse 16. Anybody unfamiliar with that passage? I can't imagine. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Now, what you might not have appreciated by that is that this is the Father's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. This is the Father's love, and this is the Father's gift. He gave his Son. And this is the Father's plan of salvation, that whosoever believeth in him. Now, this wasn't originated at that time. When that verse was written is not when he did that. Way back, if we can say that, because it says in Isaiah 57, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." We can hardly even understand that. But God inhabits eternity. What you're seeing in John chapter 3 and verse 16 did not happen in time. That happened in eternity. Because what we see in Psalm 40 and verse 6 is something that God is revealing about what happened before there was ever any angels, before there was ever any cherubims, before there was ever any sea of glass, before there was a throne in heaven, before there was an earth or a space or time or anything in eternity past. We see this: "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me." By the way, that book is Psalms, because thy word is forever settled in heaven. He's talking about this book right here, the word of God. "In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." So, we know that God needs nothing. He is all sufficient in and of himself. He is complete. He doesn't need man. He did not need to make man. He doesn't need man's worship. He doesn't need man's prayers. He doesn't need man's adoration. God is perfectly sufficient in and of himself. He does not need our love. God needs nothing, correct? If he did, then there's something lacking in him, correct? In eternity past, he was totally sufficient, sublime, and in love with himself, and that's not sinful. He is love, and they were complete and full and needed nothing. And we know that God does all things out of the good pleasure of his will. Simply because it pleased him, he made all of this. The good pleasure of his will, the Bible says. Isn't that amazing? You and I are living in an expression of his good pleasure and the will of God. Now, of course, it's been corrupted because of sin, but it wasn't originally, and one day he will recover all of that and redeem the whole creation. But we are living in an expression of the will of God. I think it was, who was that scientist? Newton? He said, all science is, and this was a believer, by the way, scientists today aren't necessarily so. He said, all we are doing is thinking God's thoughts after him. If a scientist truly in his research finds a truth, all he's found is what God thought up originally in his mind and spoke it into existence. God thought of it all in eternity past. So here we have in eternity past the all-sufficient one. And of course, I'm incapable of even understanding what that will be, because we are creatures of space and matter and time. But in eternity past, there was the triune Godhead. And he, in his pleasure, willed to make all that you and I are living in now. And he knew that man would fall. He knew that he would fail. And it says over in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Not when Jesus Christ came in, of course he did. All the way back to eternity past, God so loved his creation that he did something. He made a decision. He formulated a plan. And it included his son. And so way back then, for God so loved the world, looking forward to all of his creation, all that he was going to do, he's seeing that man would fail and all the terrible consequences of it, he said, I love my creation, and I'm going to make a way to redeem them. Now look, he says here in verse 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. So, if you would, while we are in this verse, turn to Exodus 21 and verse 5, because this is going to explain what just happened in eternity past. And while you're looking there, I'll take a sip of water. Are you there? In Exodus chapter 21, it says in verse 5, now, this is talking about the relationship between the master and his servant. And it says, if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges. I assume to make this legal, I'm not sure, but he shall bring him to the judges. And he shall also bring him to the door and unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. The perpetual bond servant. All because he loves his master, he loves his wife, and he loves his children. Now take that back to Psalm chapter 40. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. And we have this statement, and then burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. And he says, mine ears hast thou opened. This, and you can look at any commentary you want, these two are companion cross references. What you're seeing when the Father expressed his will about his love for his creation, his for mankind, and the Son heard what he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. He immediately became the Father's bondservant. He surrendered in heaven, the Son of God. Now, there is no Son of Man yet, correct? That didn't happen until he came and inhabited his body. And he became the Son of Man. When he was the Son of God, as a matter of fact, this is what is being referred to in Philippians 2 and verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with God, co-equal. God the Son, God the Father. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. That's when he came. Way back, he said, I will be your servant. This passage, when it says he hath opened his ear, is a allusion to the Son of God surrendering himself fully to the will of the Father. Now that's very precious. He says, then said I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. And notice this. I delight to do thy will, O God. Thy law is within my heart. Now you might be thinking, oh, all the laws of washing and all of that stuff. No, you and I know that the law is boiled down to what? All the law is comprehended in what? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Isn't that what the Lord said? And that's what's said in Deuteronomy. All the laws come. The Lord our God is one Lord. And it talks about the law being boiled down. All of it comes down to one thing, loving God. This is what is being referred to. Thy law, my love for you is supreme. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might. That's what's in me to do thy will, and I love it. I delight to do thy will. Now notice with me, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5, because Paul is going to make reference to this, but you're going to notice some different things about it. So what we have in eternity past is a Son of God, when he understands what the Father wants and his heart, that he loves man, but he will not accept any burnt offerings, he will not accept any of these things, he instantly surrenders himself because he knows what God's will is. And we're going to see it here in Hebrews 10, that he requires of the Son to be a sacrifice. He will give him. That was in the Father's mind, and the Son instantly surrenders to it and says, I delight in this. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world. Now notice, he wasn't coming into the world back then. That was in eternity past. That was all perspective. By the way, that's why we understand when it says that he was slain from the foundation of the world. Was he? Well, not in actuality, but in prospect. Because in eternity past, he had surrendered. He had looked all the way down in the Father's will to what it would mean for him. And he said, I delight to do that. Your law, my love for you will carry me all the way to that terrible sacrifice, but it hadn't happened yet. It was in prospect. But because he had surrendered, it was, we can say, he was slain from the foundation of the world. He had given himself in eternity to the will of God for the salvation of man. Here in Hebrews 10, it says this, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Now, we have here the statement, wherefore when he cometh into the world. So now, it's not eternity past. 4,000 years, all of the flood, all of the Old Testament, all of the judges, the kings, the prophets, the dispersion, the regathering, and now we are in Jerusalem, AD whatever, one, and it says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, now he's ready to be what? For that Son of God to be joined to this body. Notice it there. But a body hast thou prepared me. Now, at that time, he becomes the Son of Man. Because both of these titles are his, correct? He was both the Son of God and the Son of Man. That one that was prophesied in ages past, he now is coming into the world, and he, the Father, at that time, it was what? One cell. Maybe two cells. I don't know. It's so miraculous that we cannot even imagine the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. We accept it as fact. We take it by faith. It's too mysterious for us to understand. But somehow, some way, the Son of God joined himself with this body and became now the Son of Man. And they too are the same, but they too are distinct. So God had prepared for him a body. Now, if you'll notice back in Psalm chapter 40, between those two verses, and it's said twice here too, it said, mine ear hath thou opened, and here it says, a body hast thou prepared me. And so now he, as we saw in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6 and 7, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, back there in eternity past, but made himself of no reputation, mine ears hath thou opened, I have become thy servant, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Hebrews chapter 10, when he cometh into the world, a body hast thou prepared for me. And being in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And, excuse me. So, now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. Notice the difference here. Back there in Psalms, he said, I delight to do thy will. He hadn't come yet. But he was delighted to do what the Father had revealed was his will for the salvation of man. But here, he's coming, and he said, I come to do thy will, O God. And when he had said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure of them which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will. I come. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, now we have God the Son united with this body, and now we have Him, God the man, the Son of Man, joined together to accomplish the will of God for you and me, to do the Father's will. Now, if you would with me, and let's look first in Matthew chapter 26, please. So are you getting the train of thought? Delighting to do thy will. He understands the mind of the Father. He becomes the Father's bond slave to accomplish his will, and he's delighted to do it. When he comes into this world, there in that manger, not in the manger, that's when he was born, when he was conceived in that woman's womb, that's when he came into the world. And when the Holy Ghost came upon her, and that holy conception. By the way, when God impregnates a virgin woman, it's the most holy thing that can ever be done. This is one of the most holy acts in the entire history of the world. It is, and he says of that body, that holy thing that shall be born of thee. I heard a preacher one time say the King James, tried to correct the King James, said it should have been that holy person. But the body is a thing, amen? He was referring to that physical body. This is a thing, correct, in which I inhabit. I dwell in this thing. This is my house. This is not me. And so when the angel said that holy thing, he was referring just to the body of Christ that he would inhabit. And so it is accurate. It was a great translation, and we don't need to change this good book. So anyway, notice with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 26, and let me get over there real quick. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. You know this passage. It's very wonderful. Then said he, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. tarry ye here and watch with me. And when he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. So, what you're seeing here is the Son of Man. The Son of Man in a situation that is so distressful, he needs prayer. Can you even imagine? He asked his friends to pray for him as he goes deals with this agony. As a matter of fact, in Luke 22, it said, And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, what you're seeing here is what we find in Hebrews chapter 5, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers, and here they are, Oh God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. In an agony, great drops of blood coming down from his forehead. In such an agony, in such distress, that he needed an angel to appear to strengthen his body. I get the sense that he would have died under the agony of this. Now, wait a minute. You think, well, was he afraid of the cross? Many a brave man has faced death in battle, execution. It wasn't the physical torment that he was so in agony about. Here was the sinless Son of God. This man who is tempted in all points like as we, and yet without sin, had never sinned, and he was about to be made sin for you and me. This was the agony. This was what his soul dreaded. And excuse me, you remember in, I think it was John chapter 3, he said, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Do you know what Jesus was about to become? That serpent. He was about to become the embodiment of all that was evil and wrong and shameful and degraded and awful. And this was the agony that our Savior had in the garden, that his sinless soul would have to be made. By the way, do you remember the verse? It says, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He was cursed. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. So much so that the symbol for him on the cross was the serpent in the wilderness on that pole. As the serpent was lifted up, our Savior became the absolute curse. And by the way, he was cursed of God. He bore all the wrath of God for sin. He was smitten of God. This is what our Savior was yielding to in the garden. Correct? This is the horror of it, the agony of it, what he detested. Something that was so agonizing that great drops of blood were falling to the ground, and an angel had to appear to strengthen him, to keep up his life. It was such an agony. Do you know what won the victory? What did it say in eternity past? I delight to do thy will. When he came into the world, he said, I come to do thy will. In the garden, in the midst of this agony of now. He's going to have to bear the sin of the whole world. Do you know what won the victory for you and me? Not my will, but thine be done. Here is the victory. In eternity past, he delighted in it. When he came to do it. But when it came down to the test and he looked ahead at what his soul would be made to do the Father's will, and three times, and he asked his friends to pray with him as this Son of Man, what saved you and me was his willingness to do the Father's will. Now that's beautiful, folks. That's worshipful. Amen. And this is as holy a ground as you can get on. And by the way, and I'm done now, this is what is being represented by Moses and the burning bush. That burning bush has God in a bush on fire. This is our Savior in the body of a man who will suffer the fire of God's judgment. And what does he say out of the bush to Moses? I have seen the affliction of my people, and I have come down to redeem them. God in man under the judgment of the Father for you and me. All because he was willing. He was willing. He's a wonderful Savior, isn't he? Father, thank you for these people and their attention, and thank you for our great Savior who did so much for us. From eternity past all the way down to that garden, he was yielded to the will of God. Amen.